Grab a seat. Welcome to The Rock Church. My name is Josh Whitney. I'm one of the pastors. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is the final part of our 14-week survey of the book of Proverbs. We titled this series, Get Wisdom, because we need wisdom to be skillful at living. And now, for the final part, part 14, we're going to be talking about radical parenting. God's Word, the book of Proverbs, has a lot to say about parenting, and we're going to get into it this morning. And just so you know where we're going, like Bill talked about, we're going to do a two-week Easter series the next 2 weeks, and then we're going to start a study of the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go through the first 7 chapters all through the summer into August. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. But right now, we're talking about radical parenting. Do we need a parenting message in this church? Yes, we do. The Lord has blessed us with so many kids. We have 300 children, babies, and teenagers running around this church. 1 in 3 people at this church is under 18. And that's awesome because the Bible says that kids are a gift, they're a reward, and they're a blessing. And God has seen fit to give the Rock Church 300 gifts. My wife and I are blessed to have 5 kids of our own. Here are kids. Kale, Aiden, Haley, Elias, and McLean. We love these kids. We're proud of them. They're a blessing to us. It's been the greatest work of my wife and my life to raise these kids. Kale is 15, Aiden's 13, Haley is 11, Elias is 9, and McLean is 7. Krista quit her job as a nurse 15 years ago to raise our oldest son, and she spent the last 10 years homeschooling them. And we just sent our oldest son to public school about a year and a half ago. I want to be crystal clear, have this on the record. Everybody in this photo is a sinner. Dad is a sinner. Mom is a sinner. All the kids are sinners. That's what makes parenting such hard work, is we're all dealing with our sin and our junk. I could spend the whole teaching telling you how much I love and adore and appreciate everybody in that photo, but we need to get into the Bible verses this morning. But that's our family. We love them. It's what we care about. It's what we put our time and energy into. God has been gracious to my wife and I as we have applied the parenting wisdom, especially in the book of Proverbs, to raising our kids. If you work hard as a parent, you will profit. If you are a lazy parent, you don't apply God's wisdom to parenting, you'll find yourself in a poor parenting position. And I need to say this. It blows my mind how fast the last 15 years have blown by. There's my son and I 15 years ago watching TV. I was waiting for him to change the channel. And some of you are like, 15 years, wait till it's been 30 or 50 years. Time flies. The time and energy we put into raising our kids in the fear and the instruction of the Lord has been a lot, but it has been worth it. Radical parenting is not for wimps. So radical parenting. The book of Proverbs is essentially a parenting manual written by the wisest person who ever lived, written to teach his son. The words father or mother occur 41 times, son or daughter 47 times, child or children 14 times. You total those up, that's 102 references to some aspect of the family dynamic. There's so much truth related to being a skillful parent in the book of Proverbs. And oh my, we need it. I want to look at some depressing statistics for a few minutes. As a society, as a culture, as a country, we are not doing well with our children. I think we know that, but I want to look at a few statistics. According to census.gov, there's about 74 million kids and teenagers in our country. And I've read multiple sources that say 7 to 14 million adolescents are alcoholics. That's 1 in 10 or 1 in 5 youth in our country are already alcoholics. That is no good. And according to the National Institute of Mental Health, an estimated 3 million adolescents have had at least one major depressive episode. An even sadder statistic, according to the CDC, suicide is the second leading cause of death for teenagers. And so many kids grow up in broken homes. In 1960, 1% of kids experienced divorce. In 1990, 50% of kids experienced divorce. We've all either experienced or seen firsthand the pain and the heartbreak and the negative impact on the children of broken homes. Or how about this one? The average age of first exposure to pornography in our country is 11 years old. And then that survey result there, 57% of teenagers and young adults seek porn on a monthly basis. And what may be more troubling about that is that more young people in that survey said that they thought recycling was a bigger deal than looking at pornography. And then probably directly related, only 20% of Christians are waiting till marriage to be sexually active. So this isn't some youth problem out there. This is a youth problem in the church in America. And you've probably read or heard this study before, but about 90% of Christian youth leave the faith after high school. Thankfully, that's not the statistic here at The Rock, but these are heartbreaking statistics nevertheless. I could go on. I won't. But it's statistic after statistic, category after category, very discouraging things to meditate on. The fruit of our culture's parenting is rotten. But thankfully, God's word is not silent on the subject of parenting. But I share those statistics because I don't want anybody here to think this morning, oh, we're doing a great job raising kids in this country. We need to get radical in our parenting. You've heard the quote, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. We need to get radical in our parenting. We need to change things up. If the average home in America is producing a kid that's either addicted, depressed, immoral, or agnostic, we as Christians should question everything society is telling us to do as parents. We need to look to the Bible for radically different parenting approaches. As we get into the book of Proverbs this morning, we should be honest about the fruit of our culture's model and look for a different approach. I'll be honest with you, I do not care what our culture says about parenting. Oh, an expert said that? Oh, you saw that on a popular blog? The questions are, is it scriptural? Is it God's wisdom on parenting? What is the fruit of that parenting method? Those are the questions we should be asking. Jesus said in Luke 7, wisdom is proved right by her children. Those statistics are the fruit of the world's model. I don't want to copy anything our culture says about parenting. Education, our kids, their activities, their entertainment, phones, character, training, discipline, any of it. This is the definition of radical. It's a change or action relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something. Far-reaching, radical parenting. If we're going to be radical parents, we need to know we're going to be swimming against the current on about everything. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Our kids are sinners. And our culture is telling us to do a bunch of stuff that, statistically speaking, messes our kids up. So we need to be radical parents. What is the goal of parenting? I want to show you one verse from outside of Proverbs. The rest of the verses will be camped in the book of Proverbs. But this is the goal of radical parenting. Look at Malachi 2:15. Did God not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself and your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. So it's very difficult to raise godly kids if we don't honor our marriage union. That's what Brian and I talked on a couple months ago. God wants us to stick with our spouse in part to raise godly offspring. I understand right now if you're married or divorced, you're a single parent, wherever you are, God's grace is sufficient for you today. But what is the goal of parenting? It's raising godly offspring. That's radical. The goal is not to make sure my kid gets a good career or gets a good education, not to make sure my kid stays out of prison, not to raise smart kids or athletic kids or popular kids. The goal of radical parenting is to raise godly offspring. How do you do that? The book of Proverbs, God's parenting manual, essentially the material that Hebrew parents taught their children. So let's get into it. Let's look at 8 marks of radical parents. You can follow along on your handout. There's 8 blanks there. So the first mark, radical parents get to enjoy the blessing of godly children. Proverbs lays out quite the contrast between the foolish son or the wise son, the foolish daughter or the wise daughter. The wise child is humble and teachable and listens to authority. The foolish child is proud and unteachable and only learns lessons the hard way. Look at some verses here. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother. 17:21. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. 23:15, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. 28:7, the one who keeps the law is a son with understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. And 29:3, he who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. Radical parents get to enjoy the blessing of godly children. So if you instruct and train and discipline your kids in godliness, you can experience all the blessings these verses are talking about. It says gladness, joy, happiness. Watching your kids follow the Lord brings incredible joy to a parent's heart. The other day, I sent my son to go get the mail. He ran to the mailbox. He came back into my office carrying the bundle of mail. Had this very serious look on his face. And he said, Dad, there's a swimsuit catalog in there. I won't tell you what most teenage boys would have done with that catalog. But a son who sees it, covers it, and warns his dad, that's a son who brings joy to his dad's heart. Inversely, in Proverbs, it says, the kid that destroys their life, it brings the parents sorrow, grief, and bitterness. And mom and dad, you have to believe, setting that life course starts when they're young. You start training them when they're like 1 year old in wisdom and godliness. You start bumping in your kid's will. No, son, you're not the king of the world. Many parents tend to think what is good for our kids is that they enjoy life and they have good experiences. That is not the most important thing in our kids' life. The most important thing is that we are raising our kids in the fear and instruction of the Lord. I want my kids to enjoy life. We go on trips, we play games, we watch movies, we have fun, but my kids having good experiences is not the most important thing in their life. Other parents think education is the most important thing for their kids. It's not. You guys all heard about the recent scandal where celebrities paid millions of dollars to get their kids into elite colleges. Shows you how much people value education. I am strongly pro-education. I have a master's degree in engineering, but education is not the most important thing in my kids' life. Because if you have all this education and you don't have God, it's totally worthless. We have to be teaching our kids about faith in Christ and godly character. It's not the school's job. It's not the government's job. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job. It's my job and your job, mom and dad. And Proverbs promises us if we follow the way of wisdom, we can experience the blessing of godly children. And someday when we are old and gray and sitting in our rocking chair, the only questions are going to matter to us, dad and mom, are, do my kids love Jesus? Are my kids godly? Nothing else will matter on that day. What are some godly character qualities you can be training your kids in? First one I think of is hard work. Teaching your kid how to work around the house, like Bill talked on last week. My kids, when they were young, we started to teach them how to work hard. And now as they've grown up, they do literally every job inside and outside of our home. They make their beds, they pick up, they load and empty the dishwasher. They make all of our meals, they do laundry, they clean, they mow, they weed. I'll bring them out when they're little. I'll have them push the mower and they can't quite get it going. I go, we'll try again next year, son. Kids who do chores become more successful adults. Hard work training will bless them in every single area of their life, academics, career, their marriage, their parenting. So many kids in our country have like this prince or princess mindset. They're like, I'm royalty. Somebody else will pick that up for me. No, they won't. That's your job, son. Do not create an entitled attitude in your kids. It won't help them. My neighbors have hired my kids to work for them in their yards because they see me having my kids work hard in my yard. What about teaching our kids conflict resolution? This is a critical life skill. How do you control your emotion? How do you communicate in a constructive way to your sibling when you're upset? How do you actually apologize? I'm sorry I did that. No. Let's try that again. How do you forgive and not walk around with a root of bitterness in your heart? My wife has spent a good chunk of the last 15 years teaching our kids how to resolve their conflict, teaching them conflict resolution skills. Remember, the last few weeks we talked about patience and anger and godly correction. Those weren't teachings just for mom and dad. Those are teachings that we should go home and teach the kids in our family. What about teaching our kids how they spend their time? Son or daughter, you do not exist on this planet to feed your flesh and do whatever you want. You're here to honor the Lord and build his kingdom. I remember once when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I remember I walked up to my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm bored. Like, entertain me, Mom. She's like, bored, huh? How about you go vacuum the house? And I did. I never struggled with boredom after that day. Charlotte Mason, an educator in England, she said this years ago, every day, children need something or someone to love, something worthwhile to do, something to think about. Amusement is not an adequate substitute for something to think about. I know what some of you are thinking. If I tell my kids to go play together, they will fight. Hence the conflict resolution we need to be training our kids in. If we teach our kids how to treat each other well and get along, they can actually do something meaningful with their lives, like love and play with their siblings. If you're thinking, my kids don't get bored, they just look at their phone all day, you're missing the point completely right now. My kids don't have a smartphone, they don't have a phone. Someday they will, but not yet. Do you know that 95% of teenagers say they have a smartphone and they spend an astonishing 9 hours a day staring at their screen, staying up late, looking at text and social media? The phone might connect you to your online friends, but it'll disconnect you from the real flesh and blood people right there in your home. I don't want my kids' world out there. I want my kids' world in my home with their family. My kids' siblings are their best friends. That was the home I grew up in. I grew up in a Christian home. We had friends in the neighborhood and at church, but our closest friends, our best friends, were the people we spent the majority of time with, our siblings. And now my siblings and I are still friends 20 years later to this day. And that's what my wife and I are striving to do with our children. These parenting choices on hard work and conflict resolution and how our kids spend their time, they are challenging. But I'm talking about radical parenting decisions. And radical parents get to experience the blessing of godly kids. As the pastor and musician, Steele Crosswhite, so wisely put it, parenting is either hard now or it's hard later. And that should be self-evident from those verses we just read. Next point, radical parents constantly teach their children God's ways. Constantly teach. Look at these verses in Proverbs. These are the verses we tend to just kind of read right past. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction. 2:1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments. 3:1, my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. 4:1, hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Be attentive that you may gain insight. 4:10, hear, my son, and accept my words that the years of your life may be many. 5:1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding. 7:1, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. 13:1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction. Whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Radical parents constantly teach their children God's ways. There's many other verses. That's just a sampling. As parents, we can think, man, this parenting stuff is so difficult. If only these kids came with an instruction manual. They do. The Bible, specifically the book of Proverbs. Parents, we have to read the Word of God so we have something to teach our kids. Statistics would say the vast majority of Christian parents do not read the Word of God. But reading the Word of God is about having a game plan so you have something to teach your kids so you can know where you're supposed to go as a parent. The pastor and author John Piper said this, 99% of parenting actions aren't premeditated. We tend to just react in the moment, but we got to get in God's Word so we can know how to react and we can have something to teach our children. Put another way, you cannot teach your kids godliness if you're not in God's Word daily. I remember getting up out of bed, And I would walk down the hallway, and the first thing I would see most mornings was my mom sitting at her desk with her lamp on, just reading her Bible. You know, every parent is teaching their kids something. You might be teaching your kid to cheer for your favorite sports team, or hunting, or hobbies, or making money is the most important thing, or alcohol is what it's all about. But every parent is teaching their kid something. Maybe you're teaching your kids, you know, we just ignore the people that hurt us, son. Or we buy whatever we want. We never say no to any purchase. Or we never control our lust or passions. But I assure you, every mom and dad in this room is teaching their kids something. Getting in God's word is about teaching our kids God's ways. It's about having something meaningful to teach them. Are you reading? Are you understanding God's word? And more importantly, are you applying God's word? If we want to raise godly children, we have to be regularly, faithfully reading the word of God with a heart to obey it. Go, I read my Bible. Is it changing you? Is it like spilling out of your mouth because you're growing in your walk with the Lord? Kids can spot a hypocrite a mile away. Dad says don't look at porn, but we all know what he does late at night. Mom says we should speak about others in a godly way, but we hear her talking on the phone. And I hope you know, men and women, we live in a society that persistently, directly, winsomely, overwhelmingly is teaching our kids messages that directly deny God's thoughts on sexuality and gender and marriage and materialism and relationships, all of it. And we are fools if we let the world just preach those messages at our kids without stepping into the mix and teaching them ourselves. Your kids' friends influence their actions and thoughts. And now with social media, cell phones, Facegram, Instabook, your kids are being taught worldly messages constantly. You send your kid to bed, they're sitting there on their device being taught a worldly message. Again, the average teenager is looking at his phone 9 hours a day. You put your kids in public school 8 hours a day, that's a lot of time. Those hours influence Kristen, my educational choices with our kids. A radical parent directly, persistently, winsomely, and overwhelmingly is teaching their kids God's thoughts on a variety of subjects. Look at Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. So are you presenting God's ways to your kids in a winsome and attractive way? Deuteronomy 6 lays out this whole life, holistic lifestyle parenting. It's like when you sit, when you lie down, when you walk about. For us, when we're driving, at meals, at home, out and about, are we diligently teaching our kids God's ways? Let's do some math. On average, kids sleep about 9 hours a day. They go to school about 8 hours a day. They're on their device 9 hours a day. So that's 26 hours a day. That math doesn't work. That's negative 2 hours a day for you, mom and dad, to instruct and teach your kids. You go, how does that math work? Your kid is either not paying attention in school or they're not sleeping. That's how that math works. Negative 2 hours a day to teach and instruct your kid. Maybe that's why I've read the average dad spends 7 minutes a day talking to their kid. That's not going to cut it. The fathers here, you need to spend an hour a day with your kids, playing with them and talking with them and reading to them and wrestling with them and sharing God's word with them and talking about the news. My parents modeled this sort of whole lifestyle, holistic instruction. It's what Krista and I are doing with our children right now. For example, thinking back to that story with my son did not spontaneously wake up one day and think, oh, we just cover magazines like that. Now, I remember when we were younger, they were younger, I was younger, we were watching football and a commercial comes on that's immodest and I flipped away and my kids are like, why'd you flip away? And then we're having an instructional conversation right there during the football game about, oh, that's immodest. God calls us not to look at things that are immodest. The instruction started happening when they were very young. There's a lie some of you are believing right now. Some of you were taught a lie. The lie is your kid is born good, but the longer they're around you, the more wicked they become. You know, the Bible says the opposite of that. The Bible says that our kids were evil from the moment of conception, like you and me. That sin nature lives in all of us. It lives in our children. Any parent that isn't living in la-la land sees the sin of their kids. My kids are sinners. Your kids are sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. That sin nature is apparent the moment our kid arrives. Young kids only scream for their needs. They're not sympathetic. They don't pay attention. They don't see a need and jump up to help. They're preoccupied with themselves. You don't spend the first few years as a parent going, oh, that's a great idea. Do it. Go for it. Awesome. Great. God bless you, child. No, you're like, no, stop that. Be careful. Get down from there. No, no. Which brings us to our next blank. Radical parents have the courage to say no. No. I give my kids the gift of no every day. Mom and dad, you have to have the courage to say no, especially to bad influences. Look at Proverbs 13:2. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This is bad company. This is what Brian talked on a couple weeks ago. Mom and dad, do you have the courage to say no to bad influences? I have this clear memory when I was a younger boy, probably 11 or 12. I have a Christian dad, and I had this friend that was starting to go down the wrong road. I remember my dad saw it, and he started discussing my friendship with this guy. He's like, we got to change your friendship with this guy. I remember crying. I was like, Dad, you're being too hard on him. Dad, you're being too critical. He's just my friend. You need to relax. And my dad graciously listened to me, but he insisted that my friendship with that guy start to change. I didn't see it in the moment, but I obeyed my dad. And eventually that friend got into partying and girls and train wrecked his life for a season. Mom and Dad, do you have the courage to say no? Some parents don't want to interfere. They want to appear to be the good guy. Some parents are literally scared to cross their kids. Don't be a wimp. Have the courage to say no to your kids all of the time. Have the courage to constantly evaluate the influences in their life. For my wife and I, everything is on the table. What do I mean? I mean, there is nothing I would not cut out of my kids' life if I stopped messing with them. How I'm educating them, I'll change that in a heartbeat. Their friends, their activities, their entertainment, it's all on the table. I'll tell you this, if you mess with my kids, if you try to influence them then negatively, you're going to unleash holy anger inside of me. I will not stand by and let all of my wife and my time and energy raising our kids in godliness be destroyed by bad influences, not on my watch. Have the courage to say no. Which brings us to our next point. Radical parents lovingly discipline their children. Let's look at the verses. Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Or 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. 19:18, discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol or the pit or the grave. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And then 29:17. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. All those verses are on your handout so you can study them if you want. But radical parents lovingly discipline their children. These verses are talking about discipline or corporal punishment or physical punishment that uses physical pain to teach the child. Common methods include spanking or disciplining with a rod. This is one of the tools that God wants in the parenting toolbox. Corporal punishment has become very controversial in our society over the last few decades. In church, this may be one area where God's view and our culture's view are diametrically opposed. Corporal punishment or spanking has fallen out of favor. But again, I ask you the question, what is the fruit of our country's parenting methods? This is how the Supreme Court of Italy spoke about corporal punishment. It said, the very expression correction of children, which expresses a view of child rearing that is both culturally anachronistic and historically outdated, should in fact be redefined, abolishing any connotation of hierarchy or authoritarianism. In other words, if you believe the Bible and you practice loving, godly discipline with your kids, you're an outdated, old-fashioned, archaic, obsolete parent. That's what the world is telling us. Now, anybody who knows Jesus has no heart to abuse their child. The Bible is very strong about child abuse. But God says in the Bible, discipline your kids. So child abuse and loving discipline are not the same thing. Radical parents lovingly discipline their kids in a self-controlled, godly, scriptural, loving way, but they obey the word of God and they actually discipline their kids. God's discipline of those he loves is a subject that's all over the Bible, Old and New Testament. If you don't see that when you're reading your Bible with blinders on. You know, week after week, when you watch the news, there's one heartbreaking story after another of young people that were not disciplined, not raised in godliness, and then we see the tragic outcome of their parenting. You know, if you don't discipline your kid, at some point, either their school or their job or their marriage or the cops are going to bring so much discipline and pain into their life. It's either painful now or painful later. And 13:24, look at it on your hand up there. It's an intense verse. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, I understand culturally, if you stood up in a parenting expert meeting, you're like, we need to train our kids to obey, and one of the tools we can use is spanking, you'd be thrown out of that parenting meeting. I included some excellent resources on parenting and discipline on the back of your handout here. If you are not disciplining your kids, you should not run home and start disciplining them now. You should run home, buy a copy of Shepherding a Child's Heart, read it front to back, get a bunch of counsel, and figure out what does it mean to practice loving, godly, scriptural discipline with our younger children. Next point, it's related. Radical parents understand the importance of their children learning respect and obedience. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Clearly, the author of Proverbs thought this was a really big deal, that kids learn to respect and obey their parents. It's for your kids' protection. Notice it says, the eye that mocks. You know, like the eye roll and the bad attitude when you ask your kid to do something. It says to scoff, means scorn means to scoff, to laugh at, to mock. Our kids need to be taught to respect and obey their parents or things can go tragically wrong in their life. Most of Kristen, my training and instruction and discipline of our kids is all about their attitudes. What's their facial expression? What are their words? What are their tones? When Kristen and I tell them to do something, we expect quick obedience with a good attitude without back-talking. It's critically important. You know, one author said in the Jewish culture, it would be a tragedy to not bury a dead body. So why would this kid's parents not give their child a nice burial? Maybe they don't even know where their son is, where his body is. We've all seen the kid who doesn't respect their parents or listen to them. They roll their eyes. They back talk. My kids have done all that stuff, but my wife and I have dealt with it directly. Parents, you have to believe you have the ability with God's grace and God's parenting tools to turn the ship before it's too late. Radical parents covet the counsel of godly parents. That's the next blank. Proverbs 20, verse 11, even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. Our kids have a reputation. The child care workers, your babysitters, their teachers, trusted adults, people have thoughts on the conduct of our kids. Now I understand that defensive mama bear attitude, like, don't you tell me nothing about my kid. But radical parents covet the counsel of trusted adults, especially godly parents. Don't be the dad who thinks my kid's fine. Don't be the dad who says, how's my kid doing in class? I want to know. The best dads and moms I know ask questions. You might be thinking, I don't want to hear it. You do. We need to be aware Oh, your son doesn't listen very well. Your daughter kept talking when I asked her to be quiet. You cannot afford to be blind, mom and dad. I want to know my kid's reputation, so I covet the counsel and input of others, especially godly parents. This verse is showing us that a child's core being is starting to present itself when they're young, and mom and dad, you have to believe you can shape and mold that character into godly ways. Some children and teenagers are pleasant and friendly and helpful and eager to serve, and others are not. And you better believe mom and dad have had a whole lot to do with shaping that for better or worse. Radical parents understand their kid has a reputation and they're working by God's grace to grow their kids in godliness. That's why it's so critical we're in small groups, we're in Christian community, why you should hang out with godly parents so you can ask questions and see parenting. Oh, wow, they just asked their kid to do something and their kid got up and did it with a good attitude. How did that magic work? We cannot be blind to our kids' areas for growth. And for the record, church, I am not speaking to you this morning as a parenting expert. I have, like you, turned to God's word for 15 years now, and I've applied the truth I see, especially in the book of Proverbs. I have sought the counsel from many godly parents. I've read all kinds of parenting books and listened to hundreds of parenting messages. My wife and I are students of parenting. And my wife and I were also blessed to be raised in Christian homes that practice radical parenting. Those are my parents on the left. I'm one of seven. Those are Krista's parents on the right. She's one of three. What's 7 plus 3? 10. If 9 out of 10 kids are tubing out after high school, how many of all those 10 kids should be following the Lord right now? One. But by God's grace, all 10 kids are following Jesus, serving in 7 churches across the country. My parents, radicals. Krista's parents, radicals. They don't look like it, do they? They're radical parents that made thousands of parenting choices that went against the cultural norms. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. So I don't stand here as an expert. I stand here as a student that was blessed to see it. As I grew up in my home, I've been reading it in God's word. I've been listening and studying parenting, and I covet the counsel of parents that have had good fruit with the kids and their lives. Next blank. Radical parents fill their homes with love rather than possessions and experiences. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. In other words, better to have a poor family, a poor home with love and Jesus than a rich mansion full of hatred. If that verse is true, and it is, then your kids want you around loving them more than they want you off making a bunch of money. And I'm not talking about not providing for your family. That's a different topic for a different teaching. But more parents struggle with being workaholics than being deadbeats. This should impact, mom and dad, the hours you spend working outside the home, how much you travel, how late you stay at the office. This should impact how distracted you are by work when you're actually home. You know, years ago when I was working as an engineer, I would come home, I would leave my engineering phone on my desk, and I would go upstairs and engage with my family. But how do you get the promotions? This verse is telling us, better a house full of love than a house full of trouble and treasure. I'm not talking about being a bad worker. I busted my butt as an engineer. That's why they promoted me and gave me raises and bonuses. But I left work at work, and I came home, and I played with my kids, and I took them to parks, and I read with them. I disciplined them. I instructed them. And now as a pastor, I still do the same thing. I work as a pastor hard, and then I set my phone down, and I go engage with my family. Radical parents consider questions like, can we afford to live on one salary? Should we? Does my job require too much travel? How many hours am I actually away from the home? Do I need to start looking for a new job? You got to hear my heart. I'm not saying don't provide for your family. It's just saying better to have a house full of love than a house full of stuff and trouble. Look at the word love. What's the love level in your house? Do you hug your kids and kiss them and tell them you love them and lots of affection and You just show your kids over and over again, I love you, I love you, I love you. Know when to say no to your boss. Remember, radical parents have the courage to say no, even to the boss man or the boss lady. I would rather live in a tiny home full of love than a mansion full of hatred. When you come home, your kids are your business. See, no kid is perceptive enough to say, Dad, you need to work less. Mom, you got to look at your phone less. They think, Dad's gone, Mom's distracted. But your boss will always ask you to do more. Your phone is always going to have more notifications. No kid will be like, Dad, I'm really struggling with self-control. I need you to stay home and help me grow in self-control. It's a lot of work to train our kids in godliness. No kid's like, attaboy, Dad, way to teach me godliness. Here's a bonus, Dad. Parenting is like hard work that's thankless and you don't get paid for it. But man, it is rewarding. That's the money aspect. But I think we can also fill our lives with a lot of experiences, commitments outside of the home. Many parents believe a lie. My kid needs more clubs, more sports, more activities, more groups, more practices, more. They need less. Again, based on the fruit of our country's parenting, we should basically do everything the opposite. Our society says, get those kids out of the home, get them in a bunch of activities and groups. That's not true. I need my kids at home being taught by the wisest woman I've ever met. That's what they need. My kids need to be at home learning conflict resolution, how to work hard, and how to control their temper and emotions and all of those things. Growing up, my parents had us in Awanas for a season, and then we stopped that, and they put us in 4-H. And then a few of us did one sport, but most afternoons and most evenings, we were back together as a family at home. My mom did not drive us around to dozens of activities with a bunch of other kids. She knew the best influences in our lives were her, my dad, and my other siblings. They created a world with fewer commitments outside the home. I'll be very frank with you. It is easier to put your kids in a bunch of activities than to have them home training them in godliness. It's easier just to keep your kids busy and distracted than engage with character training, because that takes a lot of energy and work. One author wisely said, less is more. Less is more. That's the philosophy that Kristen and I have with commitments outside of our home. Any activity that anyone proposes is weighed against this principle. A simple life full of love and Jesus is better than a busy, distracted life with a family running a dozen different directions. You know, our busyness hurts the number of meals we have together as a family. My wife and I basically have every weekday meal and every weekend meal together with our kids. That's at a minimum 11 meals a week for connection and love and correction and discipline. Meals are critical. Meals and bedtime provide fantastic training opportunities. Your kids can see you practice hospitality at meals. Neighbors in the church are invited in. Kids are taught how to obey their parents during meals, how to have meaningful, loving conversations. My kids are learning we're part of a family. We care for each other. We're the Whitneys. We belong. We love each other. We connect. We talk. We care about each other. And all those lessons are being taught at home right now. Because less is more, church. You know, as we bring this to a close, the Rock Church, we are striving to be a fellowship where Christians can live out radical, godly parenting. We want to encourage and support each other as parents in this endeavor. The best moms and dads I know ask questions. They learn about parenting, which brings us to our final point. Radical parents' foundation is in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Christ has to permeate all areas of our life. What's your family? Are you the sports family, the activity family, the hobby family, the skiing family, the mountain family? Are you the Jesus family? A radical family builds their whole life around Jesus Christ. The kids see mom and dad loving the Lord, serving him, loving the people of God. We model that love for Jesus. We stimulate that taste in our kids. We don't want to just raise kids that avoid sin. That's like level one. radical parents raise kids who change the world for Jesus Christ. Our world desperately needs radical parents who are raising godly kids who will witness to their classmates and friends and neighbors and coworkers someday and tell people about Jesus Christ. And the only way we can do any of that, Dad and Mom, is if we plant our flag on Jesus Christ. May God give us the grace to be radical parents who raise radical children, who change the world with the gospel. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the book of Proverbs. God, I thank you for this 14-week study that we have done. God, I thank you that you want to teach us how to be skillful at living. Wisdom is not just knowledge. It's applying that knowledge to our life. And Lord, there are hundreds and hundreds of parents that go to this church. Help us to be radical, God. Help us to not just go with the flow, go, well, everybody's doing this. My neighbors are doing it. My friends are doing it. Help us to turn to your word and go, Lord, is this what a wise, godly parent would do? We want to raise radical kids that know you and love you and tell people about Jesus, that don't get wrapped up in materialism and alcohol and all kinds of destructive garbage, Lord. We want to raise kids that love you and know your word and open their mouths and tell people about Jesus. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.